Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome to day one at Wimbledon, live Wimbledon.
Live and direct.
We are at SW19.
Well, to be fair, it's kind of pre-recorded, but yeah, we are.
We're here for the whole 14 days. You know how it is.
Crazy.
Second year in a row. Praises to the Most High.
Indeed.
Yeah. How do you feel to be back, Eugene? Quickly.
It's been. I'm very happy. And like day one of Wimbledon is like Christmas. So
perfect way to describe it.
You don't really sleep the night before.
For real.
You got the fit all laid out, knowing what you're gonna wear. Like it's a moment. Like for yeah. Real. What about you?
I'm just so excited. Like it's just. Yeah, I'm tired.
Oh, the way you, basically, guys, Lucy's been running the show like, as per. But yeah, today she took it up another level. I've been mega tired today.
Yeah, but no, it's just feel good to be back.
You probably watched like literally every match that we've spoken about, like either in person or more so than me.
Yeah, but to be fair, you went to a lot of more conferences than me, so it was just like a split thing.
And but to be honest, I think we've learned from last year as well. We have to basically divide our time.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We can't always be at the same place.
Like, yeah.
Defeats the object. 100%. Being here, so
100%.
Yeah, man, it's cool, and I'm looking forward to like yeah, day two, day three, day four, day five, day.
Yep. So day everything.
Bring it on.
Yeah,
bring
it for on. Sure. Should we start?
Where should we start?
In what order did you do the rundown?
So win. So yeah, basically in order.
Oh, the wins. Wins. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, let's do that then.
Francis Tiafoe.
Mm-hmm.
He came back from two sets to love down against Matteo Arnaldi, the Italian. And could you believe this was his first time coming back from two sets to love down? You'd never done that before.
Oh really? Yeah, it's not even the first time just at Wimbledon, just like his
first time.
He's hungry.
His career, like
his brother's so starving.
it's a good look, considering like obviously the season he's had. Like he struggled this year, which he did speak about, or he has spoken about in the past, and he spoke about again today in his press conference. But yeah, just a fantastic win for Francis. So it was a 6-7, 2-6, 6-1, 6-3, 6-3 win.
Oof.
And yeah, he was wearing the knee brace on the right knee. Obviously, we all know he had that sprain
at Queens,
exactly. Yeah. And there was like kind of, I guess, worry or fear that he wouldn't be able to play Wimbledon.
For sure.
But he kind of said as well, like during press, that there was kind of, yeah, maybe talk of maybe not playing, but deep down, he always wanted to play. So I'm glad, obviously, he was able to basically come and compete and, yeah, get that win ultimately. It's like, it's in terms of where his game's at, I thought the start was obviously kind of indifferent, I guess. Like, he was leading, actually, in the first set.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was serving for it, but he did break first.
Mm-hmm.
But now he broke back. And ended up winning it ultimately, and then obviously took the second set too. But like deep down, Lucy, again, like I was watching it from the screen, like at our desk, so I wasn't actually on court because again, so that match is on court 15 or 16.
Yeah,
one of the outside courts, yeah. Anyway, and like there was basically no seats available, so yeah. People were like literally tiptoeing like over the fences to try and watch.
Because it wasn't raining today,
yeah.
The outside courts were I can't remember the last time I came to Wimbledon, it was such a long queue in those courts.
And obviously being day one too, it's always going to be like super busy.
Mm-hmm,
but
facts.
Yeah, Francis Tiafoe is Francis Tiafoe. Like he's a name that draws attention.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
I think the crowd today kind of showed that too. Like there's going to be so much interest. There'll always be interest in Francis Tiafoe, like wherever he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of good to see as well. Like to see that in terms of like where he is right now, like he's just inside the top 30.
Mm.
This time last year, he was a top 10 player. So, but yet there's still that interest and buzz like that he kind of brings to, you know, the sport, which is fantastic. When I went to his press conference, he did speak about a lot of things, actually. It was very relaxed.
Yeah, like, you guys' conference was long.
Yeah, but
the guy even came and knocked, be like, all right, guys, wrap it up.
because it was mainly like American journalists in there, like, yeah. So like Washington Post and I think Matthew Flusserman, who's at The Athletic now, and another American journalist. I wasn't really sure where he was from, but yeah, Francis was just Francis, laid back, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Gives really insightful, like in-depth answers, which again I appreciate. Well, you appreciate, like, as a journalist. And he was asked like a variation of questions. So he's asked about the Olympics, why he chose not to play this year,
mm-hmm.
mainly because of clay.
Yeah,
he doesn't like playing on clay. But he said, yeah, he's also kind of like bummed out because he's going to miss like the basketball guys like KD, LeBron. Like, this is going to probably be their last Olympics as a team.
That's true.
And he's like, yeah, having a relationship with those guys and like not being there, like that's going to hurt. But he's thinking about more being ready for the US wing.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the main thing that I kind of wanted to get out of him was obviously the knee too. You did speak about the knee. You did say that, yeah, he's around 80-85%, which is understandable. And I said, are you going to be wearing the brace like throughout? And he was like, yeah, definitely. About, it's like a superstition thing now. So basically he's going to keep rolling with it, which again makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the main thing I wanted to get from him was the coaching situation.
Yeah.
So as things stand, on the ATP website, he has Jose Akinada, his boy, down as his coach. So I asked, is that like a permanent situation going forward? And yeah, he answered here.
No. We've been trying to hire someone, but it's super interesting, man. You start to realize, I don't want to hire just someone to say I hired someone. At this point, I feel like, you know, if a coach hasn't needed a coach at a super high level or played at a high level, like, I don't respect a lot of tennis minds, to be honest. And, I'd rather have someone who's going to really, you know, push me to do elite things, and we can kind of build. And I'm also not the easiest guy to work with. You know, a lot of guys, you know, sound, you know, to relax, this, that. You know, I like to go about the game the way I like to go about the game. So. But I think I have some good ideas right after Wimbledon. I'm gonna, you know, try. And, but yeah, I mean, I respect a lot of legends, so hopefully, you know, some coming full circle.
So yeah, that was Francis talking about his coaching situation. But I do like the fact that he's kind of it's something he's like thinking about, basically.
Yeah.
It's important. Like, yeah. you do need a coach, like,
mm-hmm.
to kind of, yeah, just help guide you, basically. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, I'm happy with Francis. Obviously today was a good win for him.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Borna Coric, the Croat, in the second round, who he actually played at the start of the year in Australia. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think it was the first round match. He played really well that match.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what the head-to-head is, but yeah. Obviously Coric is a good player, but he's had some like injury issues of late. But yeah, I think that's a decent draw for Francis. He also spoke about never playing on center court, which again, and shouts out to our boy Uche Emaiko. So he had a nice interview with him,
yeah,
in the Telegraph on Sunday, I think, but mm-hmm. that's on the Telegraph website. And yeah, Francis spoke about like basically not having played on center court yet,
mm-hmm.
which is something he would like to do. And that would potentially happen if
he reaches the third round.
Exactly, because it's going to be the one and only Carlos Alcaraz. Mm. And yeah, that's not going to be on court two or court one. Like,
oh yeah, no, he's literally Grand Slam champion.
Like, so
yeah.
And again, Francis, when that was put to him, he was like, yeah, like that's what he wants. Like, it's a popcorn match. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and he's a vibes man. Like, he just loves the vibes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And again, I think Alcaraz, he's not going to want to maybe like see Francis like that early on at a Grand Slam, but we'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
And if it does, you know who we're rooting for. but yeah, that's Francis. Anything you want to add on that, Lucy?
I'm looking forward to his next round. Just glad that he was able to just play, considering his slight injury. But yeah, honestly.
Yeah. The next match now, because we're doing this like in order of like wins, or Yeah, we're going wins first rather than losses. So Gael Monfils Lomonf, he looked good in his 4-set victory over fellow Frenchman and 22nd seed Adrian Manarino. So that was a 6-3, 3-6, 7-5, 6-4 victory for Lomonf, who actually tweaked his ankle in the 7th game, which was a bit scary because it wasn't like a kind of blatant roll. It was like more of a, like, I don't know, an early kind of, he caught it like just in time before it kind of, turned real bad. But he did end up sitting down like at the back of the court and like took his shoes off, and the umpire came down from his chair to like check if he was okay. And even like Manarino too was like, he looked concerned.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But like I said, he did end up holding because he was serving during that game, but he ended up holding serve, but losing that second set. And then, he won in 4 ultimately. In that match too, like, again, I was watching that from our desk. I thought he looked pretty comfortable. And obviously Monfils is coming off the back of a run. I think he reached the semi-finals in Mallorca last week. Mm-hmm. So confidence is there. Like, he's got the matches on the grass, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good win against Manarino, because Manarino is a seed.
Yeah.
Kind of like he's been playing pretty well this season too.
Mm-hmm.
So decent win for Lomonf. He has Stanislas Wawrinka next. I do struggle with that name. Stanislas, how do you say this?
Are you actually asking me to be pronouncing names? You know damn well me and pronouncing these names.
I'm pretty sure I've heard you say Stanislas's name before.
Nah, man.
Really?
All good in the hood, but yeah. Looking forward to that. That match is going to be a long match as well.
You think so?
100%.
I did go to Monfils' press as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only English journalist in there.
Mm-hmm.
They let me ask the first question, which was I did appreciate. So I just asked basically for him to give us a rundown of the match. And he said, he thought you played well. Manarino is a difficult opponent, but he just basically said his game's in a good place at the moment. And he was just happy he was able to like execute, which was the case.
Yeah.
And I asked about the ankle and he just said, it's nothing serious. He did go down, didn't call for a trainer too, which again is a good sign. Mm-hmm. Like, because if he called for a trainer, that means like it's potentially like an issue or it could be serious than it, like, I don't know, it could be a serious thing, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
But he just said, the back of the court basically is very slippery. And I think that's like, always going to be the case, like at the start of any like Wimbledon event, like the grass is so like lush
for sure.
So he just said he was basically after that point just extra like cautious.
But he's the only player I've heard so far complaining about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he complained.
Complain. Sorry, wrong word. Made that comment?
But like, again, like he's like Lomonf. Like that's kind of what's his nickname, Slider Man. Like he loves to like slide around.
Mm.
To be honest, I have seen players slip. Like, I saw Ben Shelton slip earlier, which we could probably talk about a bit later on. But I mean, no one else. You didn't see any of the girls slip or ladies.
No,
really,
Fair play. From the matches that I watched,
better balanced.
Yeah.
Basically, Lomonf is fine, which is great, and he's got Stanislas in the second round, which will be an interesting match.
Yeah.
Jasmine Paolini now.
She secured her first match win at Wimbledon.
Crazy.
She's been doing really great this grass tournament. I remember you said that on our last pod, how she's basically won her first like grass matches
at Eastbourne. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I watched that match.
You were there for most of it.
And to be fair, that was actually, honestly, that was actually my favorite match of the day.
Oh.
I think it's mainly because Sarah's Cerebus Tormo, like I feel like she really leveled up her performance for that match. So she played way better than I expected. Like her during that first set, it was just a set full of like great shots from both. Like,
I didn't see your tweets. Like,
Paolini was doing some amazing shots, man. Like, it's times like this that I wish that we could actually record. I mean, we could post videos so people can actually see the excellence that I am seeing. Great defense from Sara as well.
And that is kind of her game too. She's a really good, like, yeah. She's a grinder, but that's mm-hmm. that's more on clay. So to see her doing that on grass,
yeah, I think that was one of her best performances on grass in a long time. But yeah, Paolini, like, she was really aggressive, especially with like her forehands. And yeah, I think Paolini took like two or three like breaks for the first set. Sara did struggle a little bit, especially that at one point it did get a bit windy.
Yeah.
And I feel like when it gets to that court, like court two and court three, I feel like there's more wind there than the other side, because it was the only time where I was sitting where I felt a bit cold and stuff. But yeah, there was even some serves where I saw Sara hitting and I was like, yeah, the wind kind of like messed that up. But yeah, like honestly, the second set, it was a bit tight for Paolini at one point. The errors started going in at like, she was like up like 4-0 on the second set.
Okay.
But then some errors started coming in, but eventually she closed the match.
Yeah, because it was 7-5, 6-3 in the end.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A close first set, but a more comfortable second set.
Exactly, yeah. But either way, it was like I said, my favorite match of like of the day. It was really, really good. But yeah, next match she has Greet Minnan.
Yeah.
She beat Watson this morning.
Her doubles partner too. It's great.
Yeah, we didn't know that till her pre-media conference
on Saturday, which we recorded the pod before, which was annoying.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fine. At least letting people know. But yeah, shout out to Jasmine. Really looking forward to her doing well, like on grass. She looked great. She moved great. I think. Yeah, she's starting to get comfortable in it now, for sure.
Just on the Heather Watson match quickly, like, so again, she was also leading in that first set. I think she was serving for the first set against Minnan, but wasn't able to secure it. So yeah, now she would just have to focus on doubles, which I think is kind of like where she's at, like more or less these days. And obviously she'll be going to the Olympics too.
Well, she did mention on the pre-media thing. She was like, yeah, she purposely played a lot more doubles this year because of the Olympics and stuff. It makes sense. Yeah.
It's annoying that we couldn't get to Paolini's press as well, because it clashed with TFO and you were watching
Osaka
at the same time.
Yeah. It was a lot, but she's still here. So
true.
Yeah.
True,
and true. A lot of the Italian journalists are here. So a lot of people will be requesting
the way that room got like swarmed, because she was in like, I think one of the smaller rooms, but yeah, it like basically packed out. And it, I mean, so it should. She's a
I was there. I mean, the room, I mean, that is the second biggest room for media anyway. So yeah, I mean, Grand Slam finalist.
Put some respect on her name.
Exactly.
Madison Keys now. So she had another Italian, actually, Martina Trevisan.
Mm-hmm.
She came through in straight sets, 6-4, 7-6. I thought Keys looked really good in this. I think her game on grass is just like, it suits the surface so well.
For sure.
Like she has like a good record on the surface. Like she reached the quarterfinals last year.
Mm-hmm.
She won Eastbourne. She's won Eastbourne a few times, but she won Eastbourne last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like her game just matches up nicely. In this match, like Trevisan for me, like she's more of a clay court player being Italian. So like going in, I was expecting Keys to come through, and obviously she did ultimately.
Oh yeah, 100%. Plus Trevisan is not really that great on grass.
This is the thing, but Lucy, like she fought well, like, and then
especially that second set.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keys kind of alluded to that too. She was like, yeah, she's basically a fighter.
That's pretty much
what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like how the match went, like it. I thought Keys was pretty much in control like throughout the second set. Yeah, it went to a tie break, but she was like 4-2 up. Was it 4-2 or 3-1? She was a break up basically in the second set. And again, she alluded to it in her press conference that she thought in that second set, she would basically just like kind of steamroll home, but it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah.
Trevisan put up a fight and like it turned into a bit of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Keys was able to see it out. In her press conference too, she gave a really nice answer. So I asked her about basically her opinion on like the grass court season, it being quite short, and if it was up to her, like, would she make it longer?
Mm-hmm.
Just because obviously, like we've said, her you know, her record on grass is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is what she said.
If there were more weeks in the year without losing off-season weeks, yes, I would love to see a longer grass court season. I would love to see a Masters on grass. I think it's always one of my favorite times of the year, and I've always loved this season. And I feel like with everything else getting longer, it seems like grass season is getting shorter and shorter. So I would be the first to vote to make other seasons shorter so that grass could be longer.
So yeah, it was a really, really like insightful answer, which I did appreciate from Keys.
And please, I hope and pray that those changes one day will happen.
Indeed.
Because she spoke some facts, okay? Indeed. Grass season is way too short.
We need a Masters 1000 on grass.
We need a Masters on grass. Well, you never know. I mean, listen, it could happen. Who would have thought that we'll get WTA Queens?
True, Queens, exactly.
So it might happen one day. It just might not happen now. It might happen when we have kids. It might happen later. But yeah, eventually, I feel like it will happen. Eventually, because it has to, like, especially with the way like players are getting injured and the way they complain about the grass and everything. And yeah, show some love to Europe, man.
Osaka, I think you should speak about it.
Naomi Osaka, yes. First of all, I'm so sorry, guys. Today with Naomi Osaka, yeah, I was fangirling because, first of all, I love her. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the first time I set eyes on Naomi Osaka and I was like, this girl is going to be a problem, was actually a Wimbledon match. So watching her today at Wimbledon, going to her press conference at Wimbledon, it was just like, this is like a nice full circle moment.
Yeah, yeah. What year was that then?
2018, the year she actually won US Open. And maddest thing is that I actually made a tweet.
Yeah, and you mentioned that on the pod.
Yeah, made a tweet and I was like, this Osaka girl's good. Mm. She's going to be a top 10 player. And later that year, she won her first Grand Slam.
Look at that.
Look at that. Mm? Look at that. But anyways, enough about how I'm fangirling about Naomi Osaka, who played her first Wimbledon match in a very long time. Also her first...
2019, I think.
Yeah, soon 2019. But this was like her first win since 2018. That match was just brilliant, and it just shows to you that what type of player Naomi Osaka is. The first set, brazy. She was just swinging through, like she finished it like quickly. The serves were great. The shots were great. It was just like a perfect, like literally match through there. When I was watching that, I was like, okay. Yeah, that's it, straight sets. I think she even took like the first break. She broke again. And then the last game was just winners after winners. Like, she was hitting down the line. Like, she was doing really well. And then the second set, this is when Perry kind of like leveled up a little bit. A little bit more, yeah. She did lead like 2-0, and then like Osaka, like she had to save like a couple break points and stuff. That's the thing. Even though Perry leveled up on the second set, Osaka was actually very close to breaking her, but it just couldn't like come around. Like Perry just, you know, just went through. And important to keep in mind that Perry actually, if I remember correctly, she actually made it all the way to the semifinals at Nottingham, I believe.
Okay.
So she was actually like very, like in good form and stuff. So I knew that could actually be like a problem, eventually. But really and truly what costs,
you're right. Yeah.
Semifinals. But then again, she's never really made a great performance at Wimbledon. Hence why I was like, okay, maybe she'll still be okay.
And she's still lost. Young too.
She's young. And she lost to Pliskova, who's, you know, and she can be aggressive, especially on grass. And I was like, okay, if Osaka is aggressive in general, so it might be a little bit tougher on her. But what really cost her that second set was the errors and her serves. Like her serves in the first set was just, like, her serves game was quick. Second set, it just kind of like went down, and then the errors went up. But then that third set, even at the beginning, Perry again was leading through, but boy, Osaka turned things around completely. And it was just really, really impressive. She did end the match with, you know, hitting 34 winners. However, those errors as well did kind of like go up. But either way, she did that. Because even at the end of the stats, like you could see that, okay, the serves went down. The winners were high because she was really hitting winners after winners after winners. But if she manages to cut down on the errors, she's going to be like, it's going to be really, you know, really tough on her opponents. But yeah, the way, honestly, shout out to Osaka, the way that she went from that first set to, from that second set to that third set was super, super impressive. And I mean, yeah, I was even wondering like, how was she able to even do that? And to be fair, someone did ask her a question about that, like how like her mindset was going into like the beginning of the match and then the end. And then this is what she said that basically kind of helped her to turn the match around.
Honestly, I feel like I came out really, really strong in the first set. And then not being too hard on myself, I think she adjusted a lot better in the second set. And I know I had my chances in the first game. And like, if I think about it without like being in myself, I know that I didn't play bad. I think I just put too much pressure on myself that I need to win like all the games, that like I can't be broken and things like that. So when that eventually happened, I felt like I doubted myself, even though I knew my game plan going in. So yeah, that's kind of what I just did in the third set. I just knew that I can only play this way to get the result that I want. And even if I don't win, I can go out seeing that I at least developed a little bit as a player.
Yeah, shout out to Osaka, man. Again, I'm really glad that she said that, you know, she, her admitting that she actually put pressure on herself, because I kind of felt that way sometimes, that I feel like she does do that. But I think it's not coming in a thing of like lack of confidence. It's coming in a thing of how hungry she is and how bad she wants to hit like her goals. But yeah, I wanted to ask a similar question like that, by the way. But again, I was fangirling. And what did I ask her about? The Kendrick show.
The pop out.
The pop out. Sometimes you got to pop out and show. But yeah, because for those who don't know, like she was supposed to be at Eastbourne. And I actually thought she cancelled Eastbourne to go to the pop-out show. But she actually said at a conference that, no, it was, she wanted to do something for her daughter's birthday. Nice. So she just like flew to like LA and she just happened like to be there. And Corday had a spare ticket and was like, let's go. And she was like, yeah, she really liked the show and stuff. So yeah, shout out to Kendrick. Shout out to Naomi. Muscle on the beat.
Oh, damn. Stop it. What did you make of her fit? It was a unique Nike fit. I want to say two-piece.
Yeah, it was a two-piece. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I like the that flurry bit. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely nice. But speaking of fit, and as we'll go into the next person.
The queen of the fits.
The queens of the fits. Like, in all honesty, yeah, Sloane Stephens. Yeah. She has been killing it. Shout out to, is it
FP Movement.
Movement. You guys have been doing your thing. Like, honestly. Mm. She looked great at Eastbourne with that mint. But here at Wimbledon, mate. I even at a conference, before I asked my question, I was like, first of all, love your fit. Aww. She's like, oh, thank you. Like, yeah, you look good. Like, it was a backless type of thing. Like, yeah, really, really nice. But yeah, so Sloane Stephens, who was supposed to face Victoria Azarenka? Yeah.
Crazy.
When I saw it, I was like, damn, speedy recovery. And I was like, yes, thank God.
as we should say, Azarenka, she withdrew due to a shoulder injury.
Shoulder injury, yeah, so that's right.
On the same day, Aryna Sabalenka also withdrew. I don't know what her issue was.
I think that's the same, funny enough, shoulder injury as well. Yeah.
Russians, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, speedy recovery to both.
And yeah, yeah, definitely. Lucky loser, French Elsa Jacquemot, 6-3, 6-3. But yes, Sloane Stephens, her level that match was incredible. Like, it was so much better. Because I watched her Eastbourne, as I said. But with this one, it was just crazy. Like, she was hitting like some winners, she was moving comfortably, she was breaking. She broke like quite a few times. To be fair, it shouldn't be too shocking, because which I actually asked her about at press. I was like, you know, you don't normally play quite a few grass tournaments before Wimbledon. Like, you play, either you don't, or you just come, or you just play like one tournament and then you go. And I was like, do you feel like, you know, that has helped you with like your game and stuff? And she was like, yeah, like, she actually didn't want to like go back home. Actually, the main reason why she did that is because she was very unhappy with how her clay season went.
Oh, okay.
So she wanted to just, you know, still stay in that momentum.
Yeah, rack up some points.
Rack up some points.
Yeah, she won a title, didn't she?
Yeah, true, yeah. But I think it's mainly because it was French Open.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally, Sloane, French deep. Open, she's second week. This was the first time in God, since God knows when. Like, none of us expected it. So I think maybe that's why, you know, she felt that way. But she said, like, yeah, like, she wanted to come back home and, you know, I mean, stay here and then, you know, stay in the same time zone, get some matches in and just feel, like, motivated to go again.
I wonder what her mindset would have been like going into the match, because obviously she would have been preparing for Azarenka.
Yeah, so shout out to Marnie. He actually like asked like her about it. What did he say again? Oh, sorry, what did she say again? To Marnie, literally asked her, like, yeah, it's hard enough to play an opponent you're unfamiliar with, but when he changed on the day, how do you kind of manage that, get your head around? She kind of joked around and she was like, yeah, it's not the vibes, do not recommend, 0 out of 10. But she was like, you know, but today is like a good day, and she feels like, you know, there's nothing that you can really do. And to be fair, she said it happened. She said, you know, it didn't even just happen to me. It happened to literally like three or four of us today. So it is what it is. It's pretty tough. First round of a slam, everyone's nervous. Everyone's going through their emotion. But she says, like, because she wasn't the only one going through it, she didn't really mind it and stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure she had like a real sigh of relief. She was like, oof, no, Azarenka. Really, truly, yeah.
Crazy.
But at the same time, she didn't know what to expect with Elsa because they never played against each other. Yeah. So, yeah. But, hey, shout out to Sloane. Really great performance on grass. Looking forward to her for the rest of the season.
Indeed. Just trying to think who she plays. We don't... Oh, my God. My bad. So she's got Diana Schneider, the Russian, who's in form. She just won a title. I think she won bad.
Oh, yes. Yes, she did.
Yeah.
She did.
So that's going to be a good match.
For sure.
But effectively, yeah, she takes Azarenka's like draw place as a seed, as in the 16th seed draw place. So things could open up for her.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, she played pretty well today. And clearly she's in a good place. So... yeah, let's hope she can carry on that momentum.
Yep.
Coco Gauff, again, match you were on, court one. Is it court one or centre?
Centre court. Come on, put some respect on our girl.
My bad. But yeah, she looked very good against her compatriot, Caroline Dulhide. I don't know if it's Dulhide or Dulhide. Apologies. Yeah, that was a 6-1, 6-2 victory for Coco.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a bit on the screen because I was watching both her and Ben at the same time, like from the desk. But again, Coco always impresses me, like with her net game. So the stat here that I've got is basically 90%. She was 90% at the net, so she won 9 out of 10 of her net points.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. Like I said, clutch. Like it's clutch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
86% of her first serve points as well. So the serve is clearly like clicking. What did you make of the match? Because obviously you were there.
Yeah, no, honestly, that first set was just, she just breezed through. Very comfortable. Serves were amazing. Even her forehands, to be fair, her forehands, it, at the beginning of the match, like it was... She was hitting it really well. Then as the match kept on going, that's when the errors started coming a little bit more with her forehands. But to be fair, like, I was really impressed with it at the beginning. Even like, and she, I feel like we focus too much on, well, when I say we, I'm talking about like people who watches her, fans and stuff. There's too much focus on her serve and her forehands. And at times we kind of even forget to mention her best and biggest weapon, which is her backhand as well. And she used it very well today.
It's pretty solid, yeah.
Yeah, like some of the winners that she was hitting with that backhand. You can talk all you want about the others, but that backhand, mate, that and her defense, extremely good. she was close. Well, when I mean she, I'm talking about Caroline. The second set, she did break her at one point. It was
the only time she broke her, yeah.
But again, Coco just, generally, she just like breezed through, honestly. And I'm really, really happy for her, really, really proud. I was scared for her because of...
This time last year.
Yeah, this time. No, not scared that she was... I knew she was going to... I had her to win the first round. Okay. But I was scared for her in terms of like where she was at mentally.
Because of last year.
Because of last year, yeah. And
I told you, man, Coco ain't thinking about like previous...
I mean, you're saying that, but that's why I asked her to press. So I asked her, I was like, you know, I mean, someone did ask her about how she was feeling and stuff. She did say that, you know, she was nervous going to the match. So I went back and I asked her, I was like, yeah, you said that you were nervous at the beginning of the match, but like, do you feel like now you feel more relaxed knowing that, you know, you won that round, especially after what happened last year? And this is actually what she said.
Yeah, I definitely do feel a lot more relaxed going in now, getting through. I think the first round is always the most difficult hump in the tournament, especially when you're a favorite coming in or like a top seed. So I'm happy to get through that hump.
So, yeah, see? So I was right, you know? I was right. But honestly, I'm just glad that, yeah, again, I'm glad that she pushed through. I'm glad that she's through to like the next round. She looked good at the conference as well. Really like
relaxed.
Yeah, I feel like when the conference is not a lot of people, it's definitely like the best.
Yeah,
they're a lot more relaxed.
She gets like the theater, the big boy thing.
Come on, center court and theater. Get to know. Who does she have next?
Good question. We did post about it, obviously.
Bear with us, guys, man. It's been a long day.
So she's got a qualifier next. Romanian, okay. Anka Todoni. It's a good draw.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is Coco Gauff, the number two seed, number two player in the world.
Yeah, she can definitely, because Anka Todoni lost to even Parks last month. Ooh, but hold on. She did win an ITF beginning of last month.
Is that on grass or probably or clay?
I believe it's grass because it was after French.
Okay.
So I believe it was grass.
But yeah, but the name does ring a bell. She did play Parks as well.
She played, she lost to Parks. Parks even bageled her on one thing. So hey.
More the same probably.
Exactly. So yeah, so shout out to Coco.
Ben Shelton now. This match is actually suspended overnight due to bad light. Lucy, it's one of them ones where I don't like saying, oh, I told you so, but it's like, yeah, I told you so.
What do you mean?
During our pre-like Wimbledon pod, I did say this Bellucci fella, like he's going to be a problem.
Oh, okay.
Just because, what I saw of him at the French, taking Francis to five. Obviously, Francis did win that, but it was a five-setter.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Gabriel Diallo in Nottingham. Again, Diallo was in a winning position. I think he was a setup. Bellucci ended up winning. So I was like, yeah, Ben obviously is a better player than Diallo, like as things stand, obviously the ranking and Diallo isn't as experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Going in, I was like, yeah, Bellucci, he's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of turned out that way. So as things stand, it's 4-6, 6-3, 3-6. So Ben is 2-1 down. When play resumes, I think they're second on tomorrow.
Okay.
Court 18.
Okay.
yeah, Ben's basically got to win the next two sets, otherwise he's out. So I think he's going to do it, though. I think he's going to push through.
Like, I'm hoping he takes advantage of this break.
The break, indeed. Yeah. And I saw enough as well. He did, like I said, he did slip. I think in the second set, he slipped.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked good. Like, the serve was firing. He obviously still wearing the sleeve as well, like on that service arm, the left arm.
Mm.
But yeah, didn't look in like in any kind of like discomfort or anything.
Right.
And yeah, Bellucci, like, it's difficult to kind of like explain his game. Like, I don't want to say he's like a like a grinder, because that kind of like, I don't think that like does him justice or gives him enough credit.
Mm.
But he's a solid player. Like, he's Italian. Mm-hmm. Like, Italian tennis right now, like, mm-hmm. like, it's mm-hmm. flying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm expecting Ben to pull through.
Mm.
And like you said, I hope, you know, the kind of break can allow him to like reassess and regroup. So we wish Ben all the best when he resumes.
For sure.
Let's talk about some of the unfortunate results. So I say our sum. We spoke about Heather Watson, obviously losing earlier to Greet Minnan.
Yeah.
Taylor Townsend also fell this morning to Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, who was a seed, actually. Mm-hmm. But in that match, you can correct me, because you were there. I'm pretty sure Taylor served for the first set.
Yeah, so she that first set was extremely close. Like, it literally went to a tiebreak.
Mm-hmm.
She had like really good serves, especially like body serves and stuff. Yeah, and Anastasia was hitting like really aggressive. And one thing that was so impressive was how aggressive Anastasia was hitting, and yet Taylor was like responding to these crazy like slices. And I'm like, how are you doing that to like an aggressive shot? Like, it was honestly very impressive. Yeah, her backhands and her slices that like today was just like just great. But anytime like she was close to like breaking, there was like something and stuff, and like, or like Anastasia would like break back. I think maybe she felt a little bit more pressure going to the tie break, because it was like she started having a lot more errors when the tie break like started.
Okay.
If not, she would have bagged that first set. Mm. And I think that kind of gave the confidence to Anastasia. And in that second set, it was like, and it just went through.
Mm.
There was also, to be fair, a little bit of distraction. There was some protests going in front of Wimbledon. And where their court is literally directly, right in front.
That gate.
And the protest, to be fair, is not really about Wimbledon. It was more about one of the sponsors.
Mm.
And it was, you know, regarding the whole like Free Palestine, going on and stuff, and the genocide and everything. So, I mean, I didn't know initially. I thought it was more like because always the environmental stuff.
Yeah.
And when I clocked it was that, I was like, you know what? It is what it is. Anastasia did complain. But then the umpire was like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Funny enough, she did complain when she was losing, but then when she was winning, it was
typical.
Whatever. Yeah. But shout out to Taylor. To be fair, she still is here till Wednesday.
She got the doubles.
She's got doubles with Caroline. What's her name again?
Katerina,
sorry.
Siniakova.
Yes.
French Open doubles champ. Multiple times, actually. She's won it, but yeah.
Yeah, for those who don't really remember, is the one she partnered with Coco. They won together the French Open doubles literally just recently. So shout out to Taylor. And looking forward to her playing doubles. I mean, doubles is her thing as well. True. So, yeah, and you need to keep in mind, she just came back from injury.
True. Which we spoke about as well.
Yeah, so she hasn't really played as much as well, but she looked good for someone who was like out of it and stuff. That was pretty much it. That was our only loss of the day.
That wraps up day one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shout out.
To be fair, though, Lucy, that's a lot of matches. Like,
No. I just, do you know what? Because there's so many, we're just going back to back, matches. But I didn't realize that was literally like, there was only one loss that we had.
Two. Heather.
Heather, yeah, sorry, yeah. True, yeah, yeah. Heather, yeah, yeah, Heather Watson.
Yeah, no, because I looked at the same. I, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, damn, that's yeah, actually we good. Had, that's a
yeah,
good day.
It's a good yeah. day, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so shout out to everyone, and still shout out to Taylor and Watson. They're indeed. Still around anyways.
Indeed.
So, yeah, how did you feel about day one?
Too tired. But, no, overall, like yeah, you
guys,
said, good.
We are exhausted, but yeah,
a
it
lot,
is
A lot
is.
Of wins. I'm really happy for Francis because, yeah, to come through in five against Al Naudi, who's like a really good player.
So
like,
would you say that was your favourite match?
Probably. Paolini's up there too, though, for me too.
Yeah, Paolini like, was yeah. my favourite match of the day, yeah, for sure.
I'm on feet.
Look at you.
Listen, man, all of them.
Oh, gosh.
All of them.
Oh, so, amazing.
Yeah,
so,
day one. Day two, though, now.
Another long day, Lucy. Another long day, indeed.
So we've got Paul Jubb, the British wild card. He's got Thiago Seybach-Bilge.
Mm-hmm.
That's first on court 14.
Mm-hmm. That court's going to be packed in full, man. Boy.
And I played on court 14, if you didn't already know. But anyway.
Just to let you guys know, Eugene reminds me this, like, every... Six to eight weeks, every year,
you know.
But to be fair, you know, if I played court 14, I'd probably tattoo it on my forehead.
we need to shout out Giovanni in Pesci Pericard.
For sure,
I'm pretty sure it's Pesci, but yeah, Giovanni,
I just say Pericard.
I like that. He's in as a lucky loser, thank God. Well,
without Andy Murray having to put
exactly.
So Andy Murray, don't worry, we cool now. I don't care what you do anymore. You can stay, you can go, whatever.
Now at least he's backtracking.
Yeah, I'm backtracking for real.
Mad. But yeah, Pericard takes his place in the draw. So he's got Sebastian Corda, who's the 20th seed.
That's going to be interesting.
And again, that's first on tomorrow. So that's an 11 o'clock start for us.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Parks, she gets her campaign underway against Caroline Wozniacki.
Who's surprisingly not on a show court. I'm very surprised.
Isn't
it
mad?
Court
16, yeah, third on. Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
It's kind of weird.
But yeah. Then we've got Robin Montgomery, who you actually spoke to.
Yes.
Shout out to Montgomery for accepting our press request.
Yeah, it was a very...
Lucy was panicking, basically, and managed to... Wow, we're going over time. This is very long, Lucy, you know.
No, but it's fine. It's day one.
True, yeah. Basically, guys, Lucy was panicking because she didn't check to see whether or not Montgomery had accepted our request for an interview. And shouts out to Montgomery, she did. So in the end, because Lucy wasn't on site, she had to do the interview over
the phone.
But yeah, Lucy, listen, guys, if you didn't already know, Lucy's a journalist now. Like, you know, she's here as media. Her past says Lucy Tazangi, reporter. That's been global. So get familiar. But yeah, like she did a great job.
And thank you.
Like I said to you yesterday, Lucy, like, yeah, I feel like you don't need like guidance or, you know, kind of, you don't need to be told what to do. Like you've been doing this for long enough now to kind of figure it out. And that's exactly what you did. So,
yeah. I have no journalist background. I've just been a 9-to-5 girl that likes tennis.
It's crazy.
That's it.
Crazy.
But speaking to, I think, do you know what? The reason why it was easy as well is because Robin follows us on BSG. True. So she's seen like us, like.
She knows
you know,
us.
Yeah.
She's part of the fam.
Yeah. So even like when she picked up the phone, she was like, hi, Lucy. Like, it was like, yeah. Like, I was like, yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah. So no, it was really good. It was really like quick. Obviously, because it was last minute and I didn't realize, you know, it was a quick conversation, literally like 3 minutes. You know, like I ask her like a lot, like different stuff.
It's crazy as well. Like you say quick or 3 minutes, it's mad how much information you can get in that time.
That's true. That's true. Like, yeah. Because for instance, you know, I asked her like, you know, how well she was playing.
On grass. Yeah.
Like, although she didn't win any titles, like she made it pretty far. She was beating top players. Mm. And like, you know, like how she feels about that and
coming
stuff.
Coming from qualifying as well.
Coming from qualifying and everything. And this is what she actually like had to say.
I'm actually surprised with my performance a little bit on the grass. When I had my first hit on grass, I told myself this might be a rough, rough season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think most importantly, it's just competing. It's a different surface. It's making all of us play a little bit differently. And yeah, I just try to keep having fun while I'm on the court.
But yeah, like, it's interesting how she feels that way. Like, she feels like she's surprised by it.
I like that honesty.
Yeah, and I did ask her after that, like, so okay, do you have like a preference, or is it just too early? She was like, you know what, it's kind of like too early for now.
She's 19, isn't she?
Young. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think I'm claiming it for her that grass would be like her favorite, because it's honestly too good.
Fair play.
It's too good. So shout out to Robin.
So yeah, she's got a fellow qualifier in the first round. It's Olivia Gadecki, the Australian. And they're third on court 11. We've got Elias Immer. He's got the British number one, we should really say, Jack Draper. And again, I'm surprised this isn't on like court one or centre, but yeah, this is on court two.
Court two is still a show court.
Yeah, but it's not centre number one, is it? I want a roof. For me, the roof courts are the courts. Like, but anyway.
Fairs.
And then, yeah, Shelton Bellucci, as we said, they're going to be second on court 18 to finish up. And then we've got Christopher Eubanks. Shouts out to Eubanks. Had a good run in Halle on the glass this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Quentin Alice.
Yep.
Of France, qualifier. They're last on court five. And then we've got another Frenchman, Arthur Thies.
Mm-hmm.
He has Dominic Stricker. Second and court seven. And then we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Kokkinakis.
Tanasi on court 17. They're last on. So
a lot of the men's tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of men. So a lot of long five set tennis.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Five, we're going to be here till 2 a.m. Stop tomorrow.
It. Stop it. but yeah, guys, man, that wraps up day one.
Whoop, whoop.
In the books. 2024.
Whoop, whoop.
Wimbledon. SW19.
Let's go.
But yeah, Lucy, man, well done again, man, because you definitely, like, you've carried me today. So I appreciate you.
You know, everybody needs a Lucy, in all honesty. But yeah, guys, make sure that you stay tuned on our socials. But shout out to that couple.
Someone
proposed someone at Wimbledon, and I literally was walking past, took a nice pic. Aww. It was actually very, very beautiful. It was cute. That's true love. Shout out to tennis couples being all booed up
that's
together.
Nice, yeah.
I hope Wimbledon's giving you guys like some free ticket or something like to celebrate
for the final.
If not, well, a congratulations from us will be probably enough. but yeah, no, shout out. It was really cute. It was really, really cute. But yeah, guys, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. We'll post in there on a daily, join our conversation, our band. And we will see you tomorrow for another recap of day two at Wimbledon.
Bye-bye.